Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 6 through 9 this morning and concentrate our time together in these verses as we reflect on the gospel, real or synthetic. The gospel, real or synthetic. Beginning at verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence this morning desiring to have light. We need the light that only you can give. We need the understanding that only you can provide. Lord, we pray that this morning we might have that light and that understanding, that we might be able to identify those false gospels that are out there. Lord, we live in the day and time of false teaching. False teaching is all around us. It's infiltrated the fundamental churches of America, and there are people that don't even know it. We pray, dear Father, that we might be alert, that we might have understanding and wisdom to be able to see that which is error, and that we might avoid it and expose it for what it is. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would bless this morning, work in hearts and lives. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In previous studies in this chapter, we have seen the nature of the gospel, we have seen the object of the gospel, and we have seen the source of the gospel, all of it in verse 4, where we read, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world or age, according to the will of God and our Father. I think it's important for us to reflect upon the fact that we have not called this age evil. God has called this age evil. And when God calls something evil, we cannot thereby go back and say, well, God really didn't mean that. We have to accept what God has said about the age in which we live, and we have to recognize that and teach that to our children and communicate that to our Sunday school classes and communicate that in our churches that God has said concerning this time period, this age, that it is a present evil age. Understanding that, we can be better equipped to be discerning Christians. Now, if we come to it and say, well, you know, it's really not as bad as what people say it is, then we're saying, God, you're a liar. God, you're a liar. It's not that bad. We can't just call things the whole age evil, like so many people say today. We have to accept it. God said it. We live in a present evil time period. Knowing that, we've got to be careful that we contend for the gospel and that we preserve the truth of the gospel. We are defending a truth. There are people out there that want to take the truth and they want to attach error to it, thereby causing truth to become error. Isn't it interesting that when you take a rotten apple and you throw it in a basket of apples, that the good apples don't overcome the rotten one? And yet, in theology, people think that way. Oh, we're going to overcome the evil with good. It doesn't work that way. When leaven is put into bread, it permeates the whole lump. And leaven in the Bible is always evil. There's not good leaven and bad leaven. It's always considered to be bad in the Bible. And so we need to understand the leaven that is at work in this age. It is a leaven of evil, and it will come to a fruition when the Antichrist sits upon the throne and the false prophet goes throughout the world and says, worship the Antichrist. Worship him. He is the true and living Christ. That's how it's all going to end up, and it's all going to be a fake and a fraud. And there's going to be a false gospel that is going to be preached and proclaimed up to that time, and the world is going to turn and they're going to say, it is Jesus Christ. Our deliverer has come. But it won't be the Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's going to be a Jesus Christ manufactured in the mind of Satan. And there are going to be people who attended church all their life that will be out there and they will say, that's him. We've been preaching about him all these years that he was going to come back. This is him. And it won't be him. You know why? Because they believed another gospel. Another gospel. You see, throughout the centuries, folks, there have been people that have been proclaiming another gospel. Not another in the sense of the same kind, but another of a very different kind. The Bible is so specific here. Notice, please, in verse 6, we shared this last time, but I want to emphasize it with you again. Notice, please, that he hath called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The Greek word there is another of a different kind. Not another of the same kind, but another of a different kind, a very different kind. Literally the opposite. And then he goes on in verse 7, which is not another, that's the Greek word for another of the same kind. So Paul is very specific here. So no one gets confused. He is saying that the gospel of these Judaizers, these people who came in and said, oh, it's so wonderful you believed on Jesus. It's so wonderful you repented of your sin and believed on Jesus. But Paul didn't give you the complete message. You know, he was only here for a short time. We're coming and we're going to give you the complete package. You just got the little benefit package. We want to give you the full package here. What you've got to do is you've got to follow the law. You've got to keep the law. You've got to be circumcised like the Jews. And if you do that, then for sure you're going to have salvation in Jesus Christ. That was not another of the same kind. Even though they talked about Jesus, even though they talked about repentance, even though they talked about faith in Jesus Christ, they were adding to it, keeping the law, being circumcised, following all the Old Testament things which related to Israel. You know what? The Judaizers were not dispensationalists. They were not dispensationalists. They were people who said, we're still under the Old Testament economy. We are still Israel. Paul was telling them, you're not Israel. You're not under the law. The grace of Christ has come. And now by faith we believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ and we repent of our sin and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're wonderfully saved plus nothing. Plus nothing. Well, we talked about that today we live in the world of the synthetic, where today we have look-alike everything. You know, back a few years ago, I was looking for a hood for one of our trucks out here, and they have all kinds of different replacement parts that are out there. Some are decent quality, some are actually from the factory, and then they have those that are plastic. And they're not very expensive, and they look exactly like the real thing. The only problem is after about 20 times of closing that hood, it begins to crack and bend. And the next thing you know, you've got a pond in front of your windshield that collects water as you drive around instead of sheeting the water off. It's just not up to snuff. It's synthetic. It's not the real thing. We talked about the fact that there are different kinds of rings. There's that diamond ring that's been mined maybe out of Africa or South America or India. And that stone has great value. Then there is the cubic zirconium. Cubic zirconium is that which is made from all kinds of chemicals that looks almost exactly. As a matter of fact, the stones that they can produce with cubic zirconium have less defects than the diamonds that are found in India or in South Africa or South America. But you know what? They're not diamonds. They're a chemical makeup. Now, it's all right if you want to go down and get one of those, but as I shared with you before, when it comes to like engagement rings or wedding rings or those special type of things, you know, the real thing just seems to speak a lot more, right? You can go and you can think, guys, that, you know, she's just going to be some, this is a beautiful ring, and it only cost me $59.95 on QVC. Great deal. My wife-to-be is going to love it. Now, you go tell her that. Honey, I got this on QVC, $59.95. Beautiful ring. You're going to love it. And she's going to swallow deep. And she may put it on, you know, but it just doesn't say the same thing as a diamond ring. She can't go to her girlfriends and she can't say, look at my cubic zirconium ring. And they're all going to say that, cheapskate, you said yes to him, the QVC guy. Why? Because it's what? It's synthetic, right? It's synthetic. And yet today, now this is the sad part here. We leave humor behind now. The sad part today is that there is a synthetic gospel being preached, and it's being picked up, and it's being passed around in Bible conferences all over America, where the gospel message is being corrupted, and a synthetic substitute is being put in its place. Where today it's more important that you come back with a list of names that you got on a visitation night of all the people that got saved, and you held their hand and you led them through a prayer, and there was no work of the Holy Spirit involved. Now, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit cannot work in an event like that, but the majority of what is happening today is false professions. I want this man off my porch. I want this couple of men out of my house. I'll tell them whatever they want to hear. That's what happens so many times. There's no dependence on the Holy Spirit. There's no working of the conviction of God. It's I've got to be able to go back and I've got to be able to tell the pastor I had so many conversions today. So now we have soul-winning formulas. Soul-winning formulas. Kind of like the prayer of Jabez that came out a few years ago. The prayer formula. That Jabez discovered a formula that he used that is successful. And if you repeat this prayer, as Bruce Wilkinson said, if you repeat it over and over and over again every day for a year, God will start blessing your life. And yet Jesus Christ said that we're not to use vain repetition like the heathen do. And whenever God was teaching His disciples, He said, I want you to pray after me. I want you to turn back to that passage where Jabez prayed, and I want you to pray his prayer. Didn't say anything about that, did He? He said, I want to teach you to pray. And you know what? The prayer that Jesus taught was all Christ-centered. Christ-centered. Whereas Jabez's prayer was an Israelite prayer in a particular time, where he was praying for his borders to be expanded. That was what the Israelite, if an Israelite was living godly, that was what they could pray for. We've got two different dispensations. But what do we got? We got people that have the little prayer and they walk around with it like the Hindus with the prayer wheel, and they're praying it over and over again. And they're wanting to see their stocks rise, and they're wanting to see all the benefit packages that they put out, and they want to see all that. And what's going on here when it doesn't happen? Why? Synthetic prayer. Synthetic prayer. And now we've got a synthetic gospel that has all kinds of things attached and a lot of stuff taken away. And so we don't have the gospel anymore. I can remember when I was in high school. I forget the name of the student that was in our school, but he was saying how he took a Dodge truck, put a Ford motor in it with some weird transmission from another vehicle, International Harvester or something like that, and he put a rear end out of an International Harvester in it, and he had taken all these parts and so forth like that, and he made him a truck. Now, I'd have hated to have gone to the parts store with him to try to describe my monstrosity to the parts dealer to try to find out what kind of a part, and if he sold it to somebody else, I'd pray for them. What has he got? He's got a Duke's mixture. He doesn't have the real thing. He's driving a Dodge truck with a Ford engine with an International Harvester rear end and tranny in it. What has he got? He's got a monstrosity. And that's what we've got today in the church. We've got a monstrosity we've called the gospel, and it's being proclaimed everywhere, and it is a false gospel. It is a false gospel. Now, let's look, please. There are two things that the Apostle Paul shares with the churches there at Galatia concerning these false teachers and the gospel that they are teaching. Number one, it's a gospel that brings trouble. These corruptors are not bringing the truth. They're bringing a concoction that they have called truth, and they are nothing but trouble. This word trouble is an interesting word. It comes from the Greek word tarasso. It's translated stir up in other passages of Scripture. It's translated shake, and it means to shake back and forth and therefore to agitate and to stir up. That's what these false teachers are all about. They're not about peace and blessing and loving Jesus. They're about trouble. They're about trouble. Instead of bringing freedom, they bring bondage. Chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's look over there very quickly. Galatians 2 and verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into what? Bondage. Salvation in Christ is about liberty, folks. It is about liberty in Christ Jesus. Not liberty to do what I please. That's not liberty. That's bondage. But it's liberty to do as Christ pleases. That's the liberty that we have. To do what pleases Him. And these false teachers came in talking about liberty and freedom, but what they were talking about was bondage. Back whenever I was in college, the big thing was Christian liberty. Way back in the mid-80s, it used to be a big deal about that, about what we called Christian liberty, where you could go do anything you wanted to in the world. You could have your rock music, you could have all that, and you could have Jesus too. That's a false gospel. That's a false gospel. It's a gospel of bondage. Now, these corruptors of the gospel, these promoters of another gospel, were so corrupt that Paul could not even allow them to use the name gospel. It burned him up that gospel was even associated, because there's no good news about bondage. There's nothing good about that. Not only that, they were talking about freedom, and chapter 5 and verse 1 says that if you believe what they believe, you're going to be entangled. Have you ever been tangled up? You ever been tangled up in something? Maybe a rope. Someone said that if you want to go skydiving, take a 50-foot extension cord with you. Because if your parachute doesn't go out, your 50-foot extension cord is bound to get tangled on something before you hit the ground. All right? You know what I'm talking about there. It's bound to get tangled up on something before you hit the ground. That's what happens when you believe the synthetic gospel, people. Bondage and entanglement. Tom Brokaw has been doing a series on CNBC, maybe you've seen it, on the megachurch movement. And Tom Brokaw was interviewing Robert A. Schuller. He is the son of Robert H. Schuller, who just took over as pastor of the Crystal Cathedral. And he asked him the question about sin and sinners. What do you believe about sin, and what do you believe about sinners? And this is his reply. We do not worry about sin here, that is the Crystal Cathedral. God already took care of that. Now, what has He done? Now think about it for just a moment. God has provided for salvation, but He has not provided it to everyone. You know what that is? That's the old Barthian, modernistic liberal philosophy, where everybody's saved whether they know it or not. There's no such place as hell. That's all a figment of God's imagination. It's not true. Everybody's saved. We just have to pull the positive out of them. They're all like little wells, and we're going to go and we're going to pull out that which is positive and good, and the good's going to overcome the evil, and we'll all go to heaven. What is that? That's a synthetic gospel. It's not true. It's not true. We're not all going to go to heaven. Only those that come through the blood of Jesus Christ are going to go to heaven. And they don't believe in the blood at the Crystal Cathedral. They believe in this synthetic gospel, positive, where everybody just comes and all men are accepted. No matter what faith, you can come and you'll go to heaven when you die. That is just baloney, folks. It is not true. This trouble is bondage and entanglement. Therefore, their gospel does not preach a justification by faith and by blood. There is no liberty in Christ, because now Christ is of no profit. He's of no profit in the synthetic gospel. The death of Christ, which is the essence of the gospel, is just a mere embellishment and of no account. Instead of bringing blessing, it brings trouble and a curse, and all who accept it fall away instantly from grace. Though they may have a conversion experience by believing the synthetic gospel. By the way, we need to be careful of experience. I found this statement this week concerning that. Experience should never be used to validate any practice, only the Bible. So we say, well, we had this experience. Wait a minute. Line it up with the Bible. If it's not in line with the Bible, throw experience out and keep the Bible. That's the truth. But you see, today, experience rates higher than the Scriptures. Well, I know what I experienced. I know what I went through and what I experienced. Yes, you experienced the devil's conversion. That's what you experienced. You didn't experience the truth if it's contrary to the Word of God. Anytime you start putting experience over the Word of God, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Now, the trouble is not just local, it's eternal. This trouble is eternal trouble. Because if you don't get the right gospel, then you can't go to heaven. Amen? If you don't have it right now, you won't get it right then. That just makes everyday common sense, doesn't it? If I'm going to go to California, I'm certainly not going to go east on I-10. I'm not going to get California that way. Well, if you keep on going, you might. Well, unless your car floats on water, it might. But you're not going to make it there. You're going to have to get on I-10 west and keep on going until you hit Los Angeles. That's how you get to California. If you start out wrong, are you going to end up right? No. Even a child can understand that. And yet we've got people today that don't understand it, that stand in pulpits all across America, that are giving a wrong gospel and they're telling we're going to end up right. That's falsehood. And the Bible says they're cursed. They're cursed for saying so. Now, not only do they cause trouble, but they pervert that which is true. The Greek word is metastrepho. Metastrepho. You've heard of metamorphosis, to change from one into another. You've got a worm that changes over into a beautiful butterfly. That's metamorphosis. Metastrepho means to change from one state into an exact opposite state. All right? To go from darkness unto light, for instance. That's what we call salvation, right? Metastrepho. I'm moving from the state of darkness to the state of being in Christ Jesus, light. To go from the kingdom of the devil unto kingdom of light. But you know what? With the other gospel, there's a metastrepho. You're going from light unto darkness. You're going from supposedly the kingdom of Christ when you're not there, and you're in the kingdom of darkness all the time. That's the word pervert that's used here. Metastrepho. The law does not moderately pollute grace. It reverses it and renders it useless. You know, whenever our troops were sent over in the first Gulf War, they told them that whenever they came across an Iraqi tank, destroy it. Don't just pull the spark plug wires on it. Destroy it. And that's the same idea that the devil has with the gospel. I don't want to just pull the spark plug wires on the gospel. I want to ruin it because I hate Christ. And that's the temperament. That is the backing of these individuals. And folks, because of this truth, we cannot coexist. We cannot tolerate. We cannot dialogue with these false teachers. And that's what's happening today. We now have torn down the wall where we want to dialogue and we want to tolerate. And the Bible says we can't do it. Because if you do, you're going to be tolerating something that's cursed. And you'll be just like Achan of old. You remember that God said, Jericho is mine. No one is to take anything out of Jericho. You leave the gold, the silver, precious stones, garments, everything that's there, it's all dedicated to me. And therefore to you, it's what? What was the word that's used in Joshua 7? It's accursed. By the way, it's interesting, in the Greek translation of the Hebrew, you know what word they use there? Anathema, same word that we have here. It's anathema to you. To me, it's dedicated. It's mine. Every bit of it. It's going to be destroyed as far as you're concerned, but it's mine. I'm taking back what's mine that they have wrested from me. And so Achan said, I'm going to take a little bit of that home with me. I'm just going to take a garment. I'm only going to take a little bit of gold, something easy I can carry out. But I'm going to keep it for myself. And one garment and gold, you know what happened in the story. Why? Because he took something that was accursed. Anathema. It belonged to God. Now, whenever you take the gospel and you add or subtract from it, you are accursed. You are a Jericho. You want to know how important it is to get the gospel right? You want to know how important it is that we communicate the gospel correctly to those who are lost and not give them something that's synthetic or man-made or got a little something attached to it here and there? It's the difference between being cursed or not. Now let's go on here. These false teachers, these corruptors of the gospel are under a curse. They are under a curse. Look with me please at 2 John Verse 7. 2 John 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not, say that word please, that name, God. It doesn't say might not have God. It says hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now folks, that means we have to practice what? Biblical separation. Well, you don't know. I'm going to influence these people. I've got a tremendous amount of influence. I've got a tremendous amount of ability to be able to do that. Wait a minute. If God says to stay away from them, who am I to follow? You or God? I have a responsibility to follow God. I'm not going to go try to influence them. The Bible says I'm to separate from them. And if I bid them Godspeed, then I'm a partaker in their evil deeds. Now, this is serious business. In other words, we've got to get the gospel right. We've got to get it straight from the Word of God. Now, these synthetic theologians, these false teachers of a false gospel, are under a curse. You follow along, please, in Galatians there in verses 8 and 9. I want to read to you verse 8, a translation by W.A. Vine. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema. Let him be cursed. Paul begins by saying this. If I, Paul, the apostle, come and preach to you something different than what I preached to you before, then you are not to believe me, the apostle. You understand the weight of that? The Apostle Paul, who gave them that message, those churches of Galatia that he went and founded throughout Galatia, southern Galatia, northern Galatia, that message that he brought was the truth. And if he were to come back and preach another message, he was not to be believed. Boy, that'd be a tough thing for some preachers today to say, to be able to say something like that. Most of them are saying, well, you just believe me whatever I say. Whatever I say goes, a la Jack Hiles and some of these others. whenever he was questioned about, whenever he said, if you weren't saved using a King James Bible, then you were converted to the devil at that time. And someone questioned him, and they were shouted down, don't contradict Dr. Hiles. And they started pounding their fists. Don't contradict him. He said it, therefore it's true. Happened. Someone raised their hand and said, wait a minute, the Bible doesn't say that. And he was shouted down. Dr. Hiles said it, therefore it's true. That's not the kind. If Todd Brainerd or any other preacher preaches something contrary to the book, don't believe it. Don't swallow it. Don't say, well, I'm going to ruminate on it a little bit. No, go to the Word. If it doesn't come from the Word, it's not to be believed. False teachers are not to be followed. We have a responsibility. I believe in the priesthood of the believer. I believe that everyone in this room that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior has the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, and you can go to the Word and check me out. Anybody that stands in this pulpit, you can check me out, and if it's not according to the Word, then don't pay any attention to it. Fact is, you've got to get into the Word, right? We all have to get into the Word to make sure what we're teaching is true and faithful to what God said and not lifted out of a passage and use it for my purposes. Every cult has been formed by a misinterpreted Scripture. Every false religion, every cult has been started by a misinterpretation of Scripture. Everyone. So we better know the Word, and we better know the Gospel, and we better communicate it correctly. Paul says, if I say anything contrary to the message I've given to you, don't believe me. Secondly, he says, if an angel comes from heaven and appears to you. Now keep in mind the people at Galatia. You have to think back to Acts chapter 14. When Paul and Barnabas were in Lystra, a city in Galatia. What happened there? Well, the people supposed Paul and Barnabas to be gods. Quite interesting, the word there. Carries with the idea it's sometimes translated angels. All right? Apart from this, the word suggests the highest conceivable authority known to man other than God Himself. Remember, the Jews believed that divine law came through the angels. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2. They believed that it came through the angels. And they talk about Michael because of the delivery of the angel to Daniel about the prophecies and so forth like that. If an angel appeared to those people and said something contrary to what Paul had shared to them, they were not to believe the angel. Now, verse 8. Notice, please. Verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema. Let him be cursed. False teachers must not be believed, false teachers must not be followed, and false teachers must not be greeted in the name of the Lord. They are in error. We are to expose them and separate from them. Call them what they are and then separate from them. Now, to subject oneself to false teaching, no matter how orthodox one's own convictions may be, is to disobey God and to compromise and weaken one's testimony and to totally distort the gospel of the grace of God. There are some people that think, well, I'm strong enough, I can endure it. I know that what this person is teaching and so forth is wrong. I've got strong convictions, I can overcome it. You're disobeying God if you follow a false teacher. You're in disobedience, no matter how strong or orthodox your convictions might be. We have to call things as they are in the Scripture. Now for emphasis, Paul repeats himself. Now, Paul is not having a problem here remembering what he just said. Alright? He's not having a senior moment. He'd be a little young for that. He's in his 30s at this particular time when he writes the book of Galatians. He's emphasizing something for us. You know, we're not very bright, are we? We all have gone through that stage in life. I can remember, you know, whenever Mom would say, don't touch the oven glass, it's hot. Then you got to go back, oh, I touched the oven glass. Didn't I tell you?
that the oven glass is hot when it's in use? Yes, ma'am.
While your fingers are all ballooned up into a big blister, you know? We all do that kind of stuff, and Paul says, you know what? I'm going to emphasize this through the pen of inspiration. The Holy Spirit told him. Let's say it again. Let's say it again. And I'm going to do the same thing today. I'm going to say it again because God did. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, say it out loud, everyone, please, let him be accursed. No one sitting in this room is without excuse. It's been said and it has been repeated. We have a responsibility to know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. The false teacher says, I have truth. I can make you free. Who are we going to believe? The church has faced this throughout the centuries. Who are we going to believe? You know what? The vast majority have believed the false teachers. If we were to set up a record of all those that believe Christ and the truth and all those that believe false teachers throughout the centuries, we would be very shocked, I'm afraid, when we realize that the vast majority believe the false teachers. You think about Martin Luther in his day. Nailed up the 95 theses, proclaimed the Lord Jesus Christ during his age. How many did he have follow him? Very few. Very few. And you look through all the periods and times of history, and you see that to be the case, that a false teacher will get a hearing quicker than a truth teller. The false teacher will get the hearing before the truth teller, and we better understand that. We need to understand that with our children. We want to see them come to Christ as early as possible. Why? Because we don't want them to fall to the hands of the false teacher. Because the false teacher's out with this net to get every child he can get. And we've got a responsibility to give the truth to our children so they can see when the error comes. They can see when they're... And the same thing is true with adults. We have a responsibility. Paul has said it. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, has proclaimed it to us that if anyone comes with a good news message that has something attached or taken away from the truth of the gospel, they are not to believe. They're trouble. They're out to pervert. And we have a responsibility to get away from them. That's the practical truth of the gospel. And you know what? The Galatians hadn't done that, had they? They had not. This was a problem group of churches in Galatia. They had invited them in and said, let's dialogue. Let's talk. Oh, you have something to add to Paul's message? Come on in here. Have the pulpit. Take it. Tell us about it. And as a result, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the grace of the gospel of Christ. And we see it today, and we need to be alert. Let us pray. Father in heaven, there may be those here in this room this morning that have believed a false gospel, and they may have participated in the devil's conversion experience, and they're thinking that they're saved and on their way to heaven when in fact they're on their way to a devil's hell because they're believing and trusting in his gospel message, which sounds so similar, which sounds so good, and it's plausible. The devil's lies are always plausible. Help us, Father, to stick by the truth of thy precious word. And Lord, may we communicate it to those around us. And Lord, help us to expose those that aren't teaching the truth and be honest about it. And to name names of those that aren't teaching the word of God so that others might be warned. Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom in these last days. There are folks all around us that need to be saved, and we have a responsibility to give them the true gospel, not a manufactured synthetic gospel that will lead them to hell. Father, I pray that you would use your word to work in our hearts and lives this morning. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.